There we go. Am I okay? All right. Okay. Good. Am I dropping out? All righty. You know, there is just something about old school. I am dropping out. What is going on, gentlemen? What do I need to do? I don't like that. I'm sorry. Number five.
Okay. There's a bright side. It's called handheld. The Lord comes through. Always got a ram in the bush. But there is something soulful about those classic old school gospel. I think it has something to do with where it was coming from. You know, I mean, it's coming from some place where somebody was having an experience. Somebody was having an encounter with the living God, and they had to let it out. So praise the Lord. I am going to be before you for just a few moments this morning, and today's message is titled Respecting the Master's Gallery. Respecting the Master's Gallery, and I am going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. That singular verse. And thank you, Caribbean maestros. You made me want to go back to the Caribbean. I'm sitting there singing and praising the Lord and envisioning the beaches. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you're taking notes, the main idea that I want you to take from this meditation is respect every person as a work of art in the master's gallery. And respect begins in the mind. Respect begins in the mind. We are so wealthy. Our ancestral heritage, our natural heritage, and our spiritual heritage has made us rich. In the words of David, the boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Today I want to speak with you about a way of being responsible and being philanthropic with that wealth that we've been given. Being responsible and being philanthropic with that wealth. And you don't need a lot of money to live large. You don't need a lot of money to live large or to live generously. You don't have to wait until you're rich to be a philanthropist. You have wealth to give in abundance right now. This is Stewardship Month. And we're celebrating Black history. And today I want you to think about serving others, not just with our deeds, but starting with our minds, starting with our thoughts, being good stewards of our minds, respecting our minds, and using our minds to serve others with respect. We often think about the deeds that we do of service. But there is a wealth to give from what we think about people and the mind discipline that we use in order to be servants of the Most High God, who has given us such an amazing capacity to be able to think and decide and choose and channel and block and evict. Instead of allowing all that's negative in our world to depress us and to oppress us and to infest us, let's take time to internalize, as the scripture says, what's true. Take the time to internalize what's excellent, what's praiseworthy, what's admirable, what's lovely about people as well as situations. It reminded me of a story about an old country preacher who was exhorting his congregation one Sunday morning passionately to not gossip and not slander and not be backbiters and to be more positive minded towards others. And he said, try to say something positive about people. You can say something good about anybody. And somebody screamed out from the audience and challenged him, well, you can't say anything good about the devil. And he said, yes, you can. At least he's persistent. Now, that's stretching it for me. That's a bit outside of my theology, but I got his point. I was watching a documentary on Mahalia Jackson the other night, and the narrator said, Dr. King's speech, the I Have a Dream speech in 1963, said that when he started out, it was really sort of dragging. And people were beginning to lose a little bit of interest and getting restless. And Mahalia, who was a good friend of Dr. King, she said, Martin, tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream. And Dr. King pivoted. His mind changed channels. He went from the news channel to the dream channel. And what came out was true. What came out was excellent. What came out was praiseworthy. What came out was admirable. What came out was lovely. And when it was all added up, it was majestic, and it was legendary. We don't have to have the oratory of Dr. King to move people. His message, the heart of his message, the essence of his message, was about respect, mutual respect. Not preferential treatment, not favoritism, just plain mutual respect. Respect every person as a work of art in the master's gallery. Why? Because in Psalm 139, the beautiful words rendered there that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made don't apply to a select group of folks. It applies to all the people that God has made. Every man, woman, and child on earth has been fearfully and wonderfully made and deserves respect because the master saw fit to put them in his gallery. And they are his. Why? Because they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because Jesus died for that person. Jesus died for that person. He thought they were valuable enough to give his life for them. Whether they accept or reject his gift, whether or not they accept or reject his offer, that's ultimately between them and God. But God loved them enough to offer it to them. That's why. Why? Because we have no idea what they may become. Who they are today is not necessarily the forecast or the foreshadowing of who they will be tomorrow. Can you say amen? Amen. Is that true of you? Amen. Is there somebody out there would have said, I'd have never thought. The world is full of I would have never thoughts. See, this exhortation here in Philippians chapter 4, it's a divine remedy for the bad isms, as I call it, which I have also elaborated on in your bulletin in the View from My Place. That's where I'm expanding upon that this morning, that piece that's in your bulletin. But I call them the bad isms: racism, sexism, cynicism, skepticism, and pessimism. Philippians 4:8 exhorts us to see beyond our prejudices. And prejudices come in all sizes, they come in all shapes, and they come in all colors, and they come in all ages. I was attending a workshop many years ago, and it was this dude who was leading it. Handsome, well-dressed, in command, cool. And I thought, you know, this guy thinks he's got it all together. I got something for him. So after the workshop, I walked up to him, I approached him, and I told him, you know, I enjoyed the workshop, did a great job, and I said, I'd like to give you this little pamphlet. And I pulled out a pamphlet, and it was my testimony about how I came to know the Lord. I said, this is my little story. A little picture was on the front of it. I said, here, I'd like you to have that. So he scanned it, and he looked at it, and he turned it over, and he opened it up, and he said, oh, so you're a Christian? I said, yeah, I am. And he said, well, so am I. I said, what? I didn't believe him. But that brother was none other than our own beloved Elder Michael Yakey. And 46 years later, he and I are still hanging out. I couldn't see the heart beneath the clothes. I just saw this cool, collected, suave dude who acted like he was in control. I didn't know that he had come to know that despite this outward appearance, I needed Jesus. Appearances can be deceiving. I was driving the family to the beach many years ago, and I saw this guy who didn't look like me. And I was wary of him because I didn't think he liked the way I looked. He was wearing a tank shirt, T-shirt, which is colloquially known as a wife beater, which I am not using that phrase, but just so you know what I'm talking about. And he had a cigarette in one hand, a beer in the other. And he glanced at me and walked away. I parked the van on the beach. We went and had some fun in the water and the waves. And as I came back, I realized that my van was stuck in the sand. And I kept spinning my tires, but no good. And that guy who didn't like me came over to the van, put his beer down, popped his cigarette in his mouth, put his back to my van, and pushed and pushed and rocked until my van was free. Then he picked up his beer and walked away with a wave. And I waved. Actions speak louder than attire. Conversely, I was walking one day, as you know, I walk every morning. I was walking one day, and as I passed this car, I got near it, and I heard the doors lock. And I wanted to walk over to the car. I wanted to knock on the window, and I wanted to say to the woman, if you knew me, lady, if you knew me, you would know that you could leave your kids with me for the weekend and come back and find them in such good shape that they wouldn't want to go home with you. I understand we're all nervous. We don't know one another, and weird things happen. But my point is, it never feels good to be prejudged. No matter what the circumstances, it never feels good to be prejudged. So let us make conscious efforts to not prejudge others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How we treat others begins in the mind. It begins in the mind. So as the scripture exhorts us, let us think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. And if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And in verse 9, Paul concludes that particular portion of Scripture with these words. Do what you've seen in me. I'm doing this, you do this. And the blessing is the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. And I'm done.